Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and injustice of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has manifested it in them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, being understood by what has been made, are comprehended, namely His eternal power and deity, so that they are without excuse. Wherefore, knowing God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they grateful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and serpents." Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we meditate for a few minutes on this passage of Scripture, You would give us insight, and not only insight for our minds to ponder, but You would move our hearts and our wills for worship for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to think with you just for a minute, in light of this passage of Scripture, that paragraph that I read that men wrote 400 years ago is really true. The light of nature shows us that there is a God, and that God we should worship. If you study human behavior throughout the world, from very advanced civilizations, whatever that is, to very primitive civilizations, whatever those may be, you discover that man is incurably religious. We worship. Take an atheist country. Take Russia. Once the Tsar abdicated, and then the second phase of that, when the Bolsheviks overthrew the Mensheviks, they established atheism as the state religion. Sound contradictory to you? Establish atheism as the state religion. Establish atheism as the state religion. Think about it for a moment. Did you ever see photographs back at the height of the Cold War of Red Square, Lenin's tomb? They took the poor man and they stuffed him and they waxed him, and they had to have people go in at night when they shut the shrine down to make sure he's fixed, you know, because dead folks show the signs of death. So even though they had linen waxed and stuffed and all of those things, they had to continue to, you know, buff him up a little bit. Why did those people line up at the Kremlin to pay homage to Lenin? Or let's take another communist country, communist China. When Merrill and I, some 25 years ago, smuggled Bibles into China, we were able to see near Tiananmen Square in Beijing the tomb of Mao. Now, Mao had currently at that time fallen under a little disfavor, so nobody's lined up. They didn't allow you to see it. In fact, when we were in another place in China, I saw some postcards of Mao, and they had him in a glass coffin. And so I bought these photographs. And our tour guide, who was a communist, was very perturbed, wanted to see what I had purchased. And I said, "Oh, it's a peasant under glass." And so, anyhow, the English-speaking people caught it, of course, but the tour guide had a little bit of difficulty with it. But you see, the peasant under glass, Mao Zedong, when he was not in disfavor, what was he? He was an object of worship. I'm saying that under these two gigantic atheist states, communist China, communist Soviet Union, they're still incurably religious. They worship man. I think that illustrates for us something of that principle. We know inside of ourselves and feel a need within inside ourselves, even if we are atheists, professing to be atheists, we have a compulsion within ourselves to worship. That gets all twisted. Mr. Frank.
I read students in class one time. I said, communism is religion. They said, no. And I said, when you were in kindergarten, what were you taught about Moses Dong? They said, Moses Dong with God.
Right. You all heard that. So what were they taught when Mr. Frank was teaching in China? They asked his students, college students, what were they taught in kindergarten about Mao Zedong? He's God. Man must worship. Now we find here in Romans chapter 1, not only must man worship, but we're told here in verse 19 of Romans 1, because what can be known about God is manifest in them. What are we as human beings? Are we simply mere material substance like gasoline or water or milk, or mix up the gasoline and the water and the milk and pour it and look at the colors as it's refracted in sunlight? Is that all we are? Mere material things that somehow or another have coalesced to be what we are. Now what we're told here is that we are image bearers of God who have, even as the sons of Adam and Eve, enough of the remnant of the image of God in us that we not only know the existence of God, but we know a lot about God. And it's manifest in us. It's not just in the world out there. It's manifest in us. That religious impulse that's in us to worship is a manifestation of the image of God. It's how we're created. It's why we do what we do. It's like whatever in life. It's there. It's intuitive. It's instinctive. It's in us. Wherefore, what may be known about God is manifest in them, for God has manifested it in them. Notice specifically verse 20. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are being understood in what has been made. They are comprehended. So here's the deal. I believe that this document 400 years ago that says that nature tells us there's a God, and nature tells us that we are to worship, that that's the truth. You don't need the Bible to know there's a God. You don't need the Bible to know that you need to worship. Nature itself tells you that. In other words, all people, men and women and children, whether they live in Africa or Asia, whether they live in North America or South America, all people everywhere have this deep-seated awareness of the true God. But the trouble is, they distort that knowledge that they have in their own unrighteousness. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. Back in the 1960s, my wife and I were house parents at an orphanage. And we had young ladies in that house who were in various stages of puberty and adolescence. And one day, one of the girls came with a question for my wife about the facts of life, the birds and the bees, where they come from. And so my wife, in simple terms, tried to explain to this little girl who was troubled the facts of life. And this little girl could not understand it. No matter how hard my wife worked at being simple to explain this, this just didn't register with this girl. So my wife talked to me about it. And I asked her, I said, you should go talk to her, the caseworker for this little girl, to find out if there's something in her past. And my wife did. And what turned out to be was this girl had been removed from her mother when she was fairly young, as a preschooler, removed from her mother was a prostitute. Now, all you got to do is think this thing through for a minute, and you realize that this little girl, as a little girl, saw things and heard things that a child should never hear or see. And her little mind was not capable of dealing with these tragedies. And so therefore, she took that knowledge of what she had seen and she had heard, and she pushed it down from her conscious mind and buried it, because her little mind could not handle it, could not cope with it. And so she repressed it. She shoved it down because she couldn't handle the truth. Reminds me of a line in the movie, A Few Good Men. The colonel's up there testifying, a Marine colonel, and they want the truth. He says, "The truth! You can't handle the truth." Well, this young lady, as a teenager, was incapable of handling the truth of her early childhood, and she suppressed it. But what verse 18 of Romans 1 tells us is this: all people everywhere, whether they've ever seen a Bible or not, deep down inside have an echo of the truth. But just as this teenager suppressed that truth, pushed it down, repressed that truth, held it down, that's what natural man does. So man knows there's a God, doesn't have to have proof laid out for him there's a God. He knows it intuitively and instinctively inside, and sees it confirmed as he looks at trees and birds and monkeys and tigers and dogs and cats and stars. He sees the confirmation in creation of what he knows in his heart. God, verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. In other words, God's basic attributes. All men everywhere, all women everywhere, whether they've ever seen the Bible or not, have this intuitive, instinctive awareness of the true God. But like the teenage girl in the orphanage where my wife and I worked back in the 1960s, they pushed that knowledge down. Because in the words of the Jack Nicholson character, the truth, you can't handle the truth. And the reason that men can't handle the truth is they know intuitively, instinctively, who that God is. The gospel is the answer. Because the gospel, which is not found in nature, but in Scripture, and in the proclamation of the gospel, tells men how they can have dealings with this God of verse 18, whose wrath is clearly revealed in creation and in history, and know him as a God who is reconciled. That's why we need to take the good news to people. The last thing that I want to say, going to verse 21, wherefore, knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. That hits on the area of worship, I say again. Man, saved or lost man, having heard the gospel, never having heard the gospel man, professing to be an atheist or professing to be a believer in many gods, a polytheist, or professing to be a Christian, man has a duty to worship this God fundamentally by being grateful, by being thankful. It's a matter of the heart. Wherefore, knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. To glorify God, to praise God, and to have a heart that's grateful. So that's the challenge. It's the duty of all men, not just Christians. It's the duty of communists, of atheists, of Muslims, of Buddhists, of Hindus. It's the duty of people who worship spirits in nature, animists. It is the duty of all men everywhere to acknowledge the true God, to be grateful to him and thankful to him. And if that's true of all men, how much truer is it for you and me who know that God savingly in Jesus Christ, who at the cost of his own blood has satisfied for all our sins and not only given us life and strength in this world for which all men should be thankful, but he has given us an open door to heaven so that we have all of this in heaven too. Let's. Yes, sir. What is man's chief end? To glorify God. and enjoy Him forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that while it is the duty of all men to glorify You, to worship You, and to acknowledge You, because men know the truth at a certain level, even though they suppress it, Lord, how much more it is the duty of believers who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have been given the precious Holy Spirit, who has given us a new heart, who have been given the promises of God that guarantee heaven for us, how much more is it our duty and our privilege and our great thing for which we were made to glorify You, to give thanks to You, and indeed fully to enjoy You, not only now, but forever. In Jesus Christ, amen.